This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo Ann. Now, when you hear about Kiwanis Malaysia, the first or maybe only thing you may think about is their work to help children with Down syndrome. Now, the Kiwanis Down Syndrome Foundation has been running for 34 years and it is one of the most well-known initiatives by the service club. So here to tell us more about the foundation, but also the other work and projects that Kiwanis Malaysia does across Malaysia, are Michael Chew, District Governor, and Dato' Stuart Lebroy, District Secretary. Dato' Stuart was also a past District Governor of Kiwanis Malaysia. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting us, Sue.
Thank you for
inviting us. Very grateful for the opportunity.
And I'm curious to find out more about all these projects that you're running, you know, to help people understand better the kind of work that you do. And if you have questions you'd like to ask my guests today, you can WhatsApp us at our U-Mobile number at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. I'll start with you first, Michael. You know, tell us briefly about Kiwanis Malaysia and what your mission is as a service organisation.
Well, Kiwanis Malaysia was first formed on 11th April 1976, right? It was actually through the pioneering initiative of our late Tan Sri Mohd Michael Jari. Mm-hmm. He was the homecoming ambassador from the States, and the first club formed was a Kiwanis Club of Kuala Lumpur. Yep. And we achieved our district information on January 7th, the year 2000. And we became officially conferred a district status on February 1st, year 2003. Kiwanis Malaysia, basically, we had a significant presence with multiple clubs actively engaged in various service projects and collaboration aimed at improving the lives of children and communities nationwide. And the defining statement of Kiwanis International is serving the children of the world. And the impact of Kiwanis Malaysia extends beyond borders. Right? It aligns with the broader goals initiative of Kiwanis International, basically where our HQ is based, to create a better world for future generations.
So I want to spend the first part of this conversation first talking about the work with Down syndrome children that you do. Dato' Stuart, you know, how did that concept come about to specifically focus on children with Down syndrome? What was the unmet need, the gap that Kiwanis wanted to fill at the time?
Actually, one of our members, I have to go back in time a little bit, Dr. Neville Fernandez, identified a gap in society where he discovered as a doctor, he found out that children with Down syndrome weren't being catered to on the early intervention program. And so he brought the project to the Kuala Lumpur Club, and the Kuala Lumpur Club adopted it and set about setting up a center in PJA. Michael may jump in and correct me here because I'm not a member of the KL Club, but we are a franchisee of that foundation in Klang, where my other center is. But I think from those early days, they grew out the center from a small base of children to quite a large center. Mike, when did you actually move from that center?
Actually, we started way back in 1987, if I'm not mistaken, in a rented place at Jalan Gasing. It's a little small place we rented. But as we grew, I think in the year of 2002, we actually bought a piece of land, which is about 31,000 square feet. Public cost is about $6 million, and we raised the money, and it was completed in 2005, right? Well, it is actually, like Dato' Stuart was saying, it's an initiative of one of our very old members, also a past governor, which is Dr. Fernandez. It was mooted out in 1988, where we started National Centre in PJ. We move on to Jalan Jenjorum. That's where we are. And as of now, the centre can actually hold 380-odd students. It is not a home. It's a school. So we have two programs running, the morning session and the afternoon sessions. Right. Whereas the whole concept of that, we have child therapies, we have physiotherapists, we have aqua therapists, music therapists. These are all the therapies that we hold in our Kiwanis Down Syndrome Nursing Center. Apart from that, the whole of Selangor, I believe we have two. One is in Jalan Jenjarum, one's in Klang, which Dato' Stuart, his top one is very, very working very, very hard towards the late top one. Over to that.
Yeah, my wife started the centre in Klang. It was an initiative, basically, one of our members from KL Club. At the time, he brought the idea to Klang, and my wife was a kindergarten teacher, loved the idea of working with special needs children. She wasn't a specialist, but being the teacher she was actually a trained educator from the UK. And she researched the subject and started programs developing her own teaching materials. There wasn't a lot available. Now, what we did correctly was that when we set up the Down Syndrome Foundation and we started the programs, the curriculum, we used the Robert Deller system. And that's well recognized as a curriculum for Down Syndrome children. Now, you tell me about the various elements of Down Syndrome teaching. You start off with early intervention. Now, what's important about that? Well, early intervention maximizes the child's developmental potential during the crucial periods of brain development. Don't forget, these children are born with an extra chromosome, which gives them their unique features as Down Syndrome. They have a lot of early problems. Some of them have holes in the heart. Some of them have bad eyesight. Some are hard of hearing. So they all have to be assessed. And what really moves me about the whole thing is when you get these babies, people bring them as babies to our center when they're about 2 or 3 months old, and we start working with them and giving them their gross and fine motor skills as a starting program. One of the stories that really touched me was one my wife told me. One of the women who came to the center with a baby told my wife, as I came to the center, I wanted to throw her off the bridge. When the child was born, she was devastated. Her family turned on her. Her father, her husband's family turned on her. Her husband blamed her. She carried a lot of guilt with her, but she never gave up on her kid. And that really, you know, touched me to the core. You know, when a mother thinks about things like that, because, you know, the life of a parent with Down syndrome is no easy route to carry. They start off with a very big disadvantage to other families. It's a hard journey for them. And what we're trying to do is make that easy for them. So what we do in our center is that all the other parents in the center rally around them.
You have parental support as well.
That's right. The parent support group is a wonderful element of our organization. And they play a crucial part in creating support for the other mothers and fathers who come to the center to get their kids trained up. And that, I think, is the reason why we do these things and keeps us going. I mean, my center has been going for 30 years now, you know, with the second real center that was started up, I think, after KL.
The Klein Center was set up in 1995.
That's right.
So I imagine a lot of the people who were, the kids who were there at the start, you know, they would be adults now. That must be very rewarding to watch them.
And they came back last month to the center for a celebration.
Oh, wow.
And they're still around. And the parents still keep in touch with the teachers. They've grown up. They're quite well trained now. They can speak. They can communicate. Some are a little bit worse than the others, but wherever they are on their journey, they've made enormous progress. And it really warms my heart when we see the kind of progress they're making.
Yeah, we had one, a child. I remember, I've known that child for a long time. His name is Eugene. He's basically 40-odd years old now, right? So he's been coming back to help out. But I want the general public to know that Down syndrome is not a disease. The public ought to know that Down syndrome is not a disease. It's a lifelong condition that causes delay in learning and development. This condition resulted in an additional copy of a hole or part of a chromosome 21, usually in every cell. Unfortunately, some of these individuals have, you know, Down syndrome has actually 47 chromosomes instead of the usual, 46. So having one extra doesn't mean it's good, It is this most common, frequently occurring chromosomal disorder. And going down, moving along, Kiwanis Down Syndrome National Center, we have 5 nationwide, right? So we have one in Petaling Jaya, we have one in Johor Bahru, one in Klang, one in Melaka, and one in Kulai. So these are the 5 centers. So please feel free to contact us. We will be happy to work with you,
Now, I know you run these intervention programs for children, you know, running from infancy up until when they're older, right? Could you briefly walk me through that, Michael? You know, because when we talk about, I guess people think about special education for children, right? But what do you do when they're still infants, when they're toddlers? What kind of programs do you run?
Okay, we have several programs at the Kiwanis Down Syndrome National Center. One of those, as you mentioned earlier, is called Infant Stimulation Program. These are basically, we call it ISP. They enroll with us. They are students from, basically, they're actually infant from 2 months or up to 24 months. And this is a therapy. This is strictly a therapy-based program handled by qualified physiotherapists, occupational therapists. And we conduct these sessions, basically it's for 45 minutes to an hour. And we do it, depends on the teachers. We will probably have it 3 times a week. Yeah. And the main goal is basically to provide parental education, whereas the therapist will work very closely with parents to ensure that proper guidance on handling, positioning, and many other important skills that parents need to acquire to support the child's development at this stage, at this very early stage. It is compulsory, I repeat, it is compulsory for the parent or any caregivers to attend this ISP program with the child.
So these skills, to add on to what Michael says, you know, include such things as crawling and walking skills, simple stuff. They look at babbling and gesturing as a skill set. Sensory processing skills and social interaction with other children. Now, it's very important that they learn to socialize from that age. And by meeting with other children of the same age group, does make a big difference to their development programs.
You're trying to make sure that they feel included also,
of course,
right?
Yes.
And that they're not feeling, that they don't feel that stigmatization even when they're babies, when they're toddlers.
Precisely.
All right. We'll go for a quick break now and continue this discussion when we come back on the show with me today. Dato Stuart Lebroy, District Secretary, and Michael Chew, District Governor, both from Kiwanis, Malaysia. We'll continue this discussion after a very quick break. Keep it here on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo. And joining me in the studio today, my guest, Dato' Stuart Lebroy, District Secretary of Kiwanis Malaysia, and Michael Chew, District Governor of Kiwanis Malaysia. They are here sharing more about the work that Kiwanis does, particularly with the Down Syndrome Foundation. But also, I will find out from them shortly, you know, some of the other projects that they've started, that they are expanding into. But I guess to continue on that thread of conversation we were having about Down Syndrome, Dato' Stuart, you know, I want to touch on stigma for a bit, because you did allude to that, how parents feel a lot of stigmatization. Do you see differences in how people talk and perceive of people with Down syndrome or Down syndrome itself compared to when you started the Klang Centre in 1995?
We have made huge progress, I think primarily because of the efforts that we've done in making it more publicly known. We work with hospitals now. So anyone who's diagnosed with Downs in the hospitals, we get a call first, and they're directed to come and see us. And we bring the family and we counsel them. So we give a lot of comfort to them. So this stigma has been largely lifted, I would think. But there's still, you know, culturally, there's always that blame game that goes on, and we can't stop that. It's just human nature, I suppose, when people try to find someone to lash out at. Because, you know, it's very unfair, some people feel, you know, when they're born with a child with a disability. But the way the mothers react, and we've seen it right across the board, is nothing more than absolutely spectacular. They're such wonderful, warm, and giving people. And they're really dedicated to bringing their kids up as far as they can go.
Do you still see parents feeling, you know, feeling uncertain about sending their kids to Kiwanis Centre because of that stigma, that label?
I can't say it doesn't happen. It probably does. But we don't see them because they don't come. So it's hard to see. Because actually, if you think about the statistics, 1 out of 700 children born have Down syndrome. And if I look at the number of registered cases, probably a lot less than that ratio. So we don't have the stats for Malaysia per se. If you talk about other disabilities, they're even more frightening. You know, 1 out of 34 have dyslexia.
Have some sort of,
And 1 out of every 5 is autistic. Now, that figure really blew me away. You know, that quantum of possible children with disabilities is huge. And the problem I feel that should be addressed is the fact that our schools don't screen children. You know, for years I remember kids with dyslexia were the stupid ones. They couldn't spell properly, so they were ignored by teachers. You know, they couldn't train them. They didn't realize what was actually wrong with them. And dyslexia is a condition that can actually be managed. And I think as we progress as a nation, these issues are slowly being addressed. We have the Dyslexia Society is actually bringing awareness there. The Autistic Society is doing a great job in bringing awareness to the problem. We're all working together as NGOs to bring the best for these children.
What misconceptions do you still hear, Michael, when it comes to children or even adults living with Down syndrome?
Oh, what basically, like I said, personally, for me, people always ask me whether I have any Down syndrome children when I actually join as a Kivalis member. The fact is, no, I would like to serve. Basically, my passion is about children.
Mm.
Now, the sad part is that if every child is given the recognition to flourish on its own, all right, and not to, like Dato Stewart is saying, you know, unfortunately, this part of the world that if you have an autistic child or you have a Down syndrome child, it's a taboo. Let's not keep them that way.
It's improving, but the taboo over the is
years,
still there, right?
Over the years, the taboo is still there. I believe is probably, I would say, in my opinion, is lifting.
Mm. Dr. Stewart, apart from the Down Syndrome Foundation, then, you know what? Tell me more about some of the other projects that Kiwanis Malaysia is doing. I know you are particularly attached to some of them. Some of them are very close to your heart. Tell me more about that.
I think primarily one of the initiatives we're taking this year is that we all sat down as a huddle, did a strategy session, and we said, now, what is the one thing that we can do to secure our future of our children? And the one thing that pops up is climate change. Because looking at what the scientists say, they say if the temperatures of the world go up to 3 degrees, we're looking at an extinction event. An extinction event. It's not a question of bad weather. It's a question, is we all going to die? So if we don't look after the planet for our children, we will not have a place for them to grow up in. So our initiatives now, we're talking about the Green Generation Project, where we're trying to bring awareness of environment and recycling to schools and children. And we feel that we're going to work with schools now and get speakers to talk about it. We run youth camps with environmental themes, and we're trying to get this generation green. You know, we talk about Gen Z, Gen Y, Gen X, Gen whatever. I call our new children Gen G, the green generation. I think kids must understand that if they don't take care, take charge of this planet, no one else will do that for them, because we're not going to be around for that. So I think it's important that, you know, environmental is one area. And we're getting a lot of traction from new members who join us wanting to be part of this movement. I always say, if you want to raise an army of volunteers, you need a war to fight, correct? And we've identified this as a war, which is manageable. And it gets everyone quite excited with the things we can do in terms of recycling, teaching kids about, you know, environmental issues. There's no curriculum in school on environmental sciences. I would be the first one to say the Ministry of Education should seriously look at introducing something like this in schools and tell the kids how much danger they're in. We can't pretend that nothing's going to happen.
But the focus is, I guess, on actionable things, right? Because you don't want to just tell them, well, it's all doom and gloom, but there's nothing
you can
do.
We do tree planting with them. We find spaces to plant trees. We do clean up some beaches. We teach them how to recycle within their schools. We try and teach them how to be economical with food cooking at home and waste management. There are a lot of things they can practically do, and let them take pride in those adventures on their own, which will really make a big difference.
Michael, I know Kiwanis also works or has programs for children with other special needs as well, right? I was reading up about them. You have the Kiwanis Heart Centre, you have the WeCare Centre for Children with Special Needs. I guess tell me more about these programs and how they also fit into these, you know, to the Down Syndrome Foundation and the project that Dato talked about.
We have a total of about 27, I believe, initiatives all over.
Wow.
And it's all being operated and run by various clubs in, or you call it chapters in Malaysia.
So they run independently.
Independently, yes. And just to echo what you just, the question you asked me about, you know, about taboo and all that. I believe that just 2 nights ago, where we had the His Royal Highness, the Sultan of Selangor, Tengku Permaisuri, was there. We have this Anugerah Ibu Kiwanis. Right, this is basically, we're recognizing mothers, give them a platform, a way of telling the public that these are mothers of special needs. They themselves, one of them is happened to be a physically challenged lady on a wheelchair, and looking after two autistic kids, it is not easy. I can tell you, trust me, it is not easy. Having a down child is like a 24/7 job. And whereas where you have children, other children, you need time for them, and you need to do your groceries. So Kiwanis is basically found that particular need, that gap, and to try to fill it up. So they said as long as they come to the centres, they have certain time, not only Kiwanis Down syndrome, I believe there's others, but specifically Kiwanis is about Down syndrome, right? So they will have time to do other things and do chores. So this is where we actually came in. And over the last weekend, we have 8 mothers being honoured. Yeah, we call it the mother with special needs children. This was held at the Marriott Hotel in Satyalam two nights ago.
Mm. Actually, if I could ask you a bit more about that, because like you say, everyone is aware that being a caregiver is a full-time job. Parents sometimes, one out of two parents sometimes or often have to give up their day jobs to become a full-time parent to the child.
Yes, indeed.
How does Kiwanis help them to, you know, to provide that support to them, to help them gain some sort of normalcy in their lives?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, Suhan. It depends very much on each family.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are fairly well off.
Mm.
They can manage. I always feel sorry for the poorer families, where we try and get them grants from the local government, we register them with the OKUs.
So you connect them to the right people.
We connect them to the right people so they can actually have sustainable assistance over the time.
Mm.
Now, when the children get registered, they do get a monthly grant from mm-hmm. the government, which, you know, all due credit to them. They're really looking after that section of the society. But at the same time, we do what we can in terms of whether we have the ability, like the winners, for instance, very kindly were given, was it a two-night stay at the Lexus Hibiscus in Port Dickson? They were so thrilled, you know, a holiday on the beach for them and their families. We try and bring joy to them when we can, but we can't really fund them as families per se. We try and help them along their journey.
Mm. Generally, how much are fees subsidized at the various centres that Kiwanis runs? And how are you able to fund those?
Mainly through public donations. So we run fundraisers every year. I mean, my small centre in Klang costs us $250,000 a year to run. Mm. We employ teachers. We pay them well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key to it, you know, because we can't pay, you know, rubbish salaries, because nowadays it's very hard to get people.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is now with the new initiative we're doing with our Kiwanis Malaysia Academy, which is now going to help establish courses for our children, which I mentioned to you earlier in passing. We're trying to get the universities here to run courses in special needs.
Mm.
So teachers who actually teach can be fully qualified. I didn't realize it, but no one runs a course in universities for people aspiring to become specialists in special needs education. And it's time that changed. And that's part and parcel of what we're doing through our Kiwanis Malaysia Academy right now. So funds we raise are used for all these purposes. We try and take a long-term strategic view of help.
Mm.
We don't like doing this touch-and-go kind of thing. We're here for the long-term, for our families and children, and we try and walk the talk in that respect.
Mm. You want to ensure that your programs and whatever support that you're offering is sustainable.
Absolutely.
This is precisely why we're here today.
Mm.
Just the Jalan Jenjarum Kiwanis Down Syndrome National Centre, it probably costs an average about 1.3 million per annum to run it. So we are perpetually professional beggars, so we call ourselves.
If I could ask Michael, you know, just to give listeners a better idea of how these centres are run, right, where do the costs go into? You know, what's the bulk of your costs?
Well, the bulk of the cost is the salary to all these charities.
Mainly.
The staff.
Mm. Yeah.
Because like you said, Redato, you want to pay them a living wage.
Absolutely. More than a living wage. Mm. They deserve a lot more.
Mm.
Seriously, these teachers are absolutely magnificent in what they do.
Mm.
They're so dedicated.
It is very difficult to get these people to come in if you're not paying properly.
Mm. What kind of training do these teachers need as well? Because I'm assuming they would also need to be regularly, to get their training regularly updated as well, right, when they're teaching special needs kids.
Well, it started when we first started our centre. We worked with the Selangor Association for Handicapped Children. I think they call themselves another name nowadays, but they used to run courses, but that stopped.
Mm.
And so we worked with some universities run short-term courses, and which we subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation runs courses. They bring in special lecturers. Our teachers subscribe to those courses to keep themselves up to date. And the teachers are always encouraged. The administrators are always on the lookout for new ideas. We align ourselves up with overseas Down syndrome associations, get ideas from them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of things happening outside our borders, which we have to be aware of.
Mm.
So we try and keep ourselves relevant and up to date. But as I said, if the teachers can actually have a paper qualification, we go a long way to give them a sense of professionalism and recognition, which is really lacking today.
Mm. Mm.
Okay.
Back to your financial support and all that. Kiwanis Down Syndrome Foundation, we have a tax-exempt receipt.
Mm.
So by and large, basically, you know where I'm coming from, right?
Mm-hmm. And I will continue on that vein then, Michael. You know, if people want to learn more about how they can help, how they can support, whether financially or otherwise, right, where can they go to find more information?
Right. Well, we have a couple of websites, which is you can actually log on. by and large, is the kivanis.org.my, right? That's one. Mm-hmm. And then we have Instagram, we have Facebook. Just lock on it. I can actually get the site straight, but unfortunately, I can't find it here. But anyway, But by and large,
Google Kivanis Malaysia.
Google Kivanis, you'll find.
Just put Kivanis Down,
Down Syndrome is always there.
And it'll direct you to the foundation's website. Mm. And there you can actually make direct donations. Now, how people can help in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
They can join the treasure hunt.
Mm.
Or they can join fundraising activities for the centres. Because all the funds we raise go directly to the operating costs of the centres. And that helps a lot. And those who donate directly to the centre gets a tax-exempt receipt, as Michael alluded to just now. And that helps us a lot getting money from corporates who really appreciate that. Because there's, you know, quid pro quo, and you give me something, and give me something back in return. So it works in that respect. And corporates have been very supportive.
Mm.
The trouble is we're not that well known.
Mm.
Programs like this do help get the message across.
Mm.
The other thing that we're embarking on is we now have a new initiative to put all the clubs in Malaysia on what we call Kiwanis Digital.
Mm-hmm.
So every club in the future will have a website and a payment portal where they can raise money online
mm-hmm.
for their various projects.
So each chapter of Kiwanis?
Each chapter has its own portal and its own payment portal. So that we just finished the negotiations for that with one major provider, and we're now doing the rollout of all the websites for all the clubs. So what we're trying to teach clubs to do is to crowdfund.
Mm.
You know, the big message is, you know, money is mobile. Money is digital.
Mm.
Everyone donates online. They understand how to, you know, buy stuff online. They do everything online these days. So we're moving our entire donation platforms onto a digital online portal. And I think watch this space. In the next 12 months, there'll be a phenomenally interesting rollout where people can give micro donations, $10, $5. You feel like giving something, just clock in and just punch in your touch and go. Or we do everything, Boost, Touch and Go, credit cards,
and there you
FBX,
go, ladies and gentlemen.
Everything.
It's the every little bit counts, right?
What?
Every dollar counts, yes.
Every dollar counts.
I want to, you mentioned about, both of you touched on how each club, each chapter runs their own programs. Does that necessarily lead to more fragmentation, or does it mean that projects are able to run more smoothly because it's all independently run?
Well, the worst thing you never have is a committee to run anything, as you all know, okay? Because they always say, what comes out of a committee meeting? The people. Okay, so nothing happens at committee level. Mm. So we try and keep the clubs lean and mean.
Mm.
They run their projects and they run very independently. And they get a lot of satisfaction out of delivering their own results.
Mm.
Clubs take great pride in what they achieve.
Mm.
Did you know that, you know, I think Michael will tell a little bit about our blood donations we do. Unheard of. How much do we do?
Oh, we have so far over the numbers that I got the stats is about 10,000 odd pints of blood.
Mm.
Literally translate into saving 34,300 lives.
Mm.
It's something nobody knows.
Mm.
And it is, like I said, having this opportunity, BFM, don't keep Kiwanis the best kept secret organization. Let people know the good things we do, and that's why we are here. And moving on to what Datu was just mentioned, where, you know, there are clubs is running it. By and large, the district office is basically the two of us and board of trustees.
Mm-hmm.
The structures, we make sure that we ensure that there is effective communication and collaboration among clubs. We provide all the supports, the resources, the governance, and of course, the coordination with other clubs. We call it inter-district, inter-club.
Mm.
Right. And we do practice the highest form of governance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I come from the corporate world. I'm ensuring that the organization runs at a very, very high level of corporate governance, because I think our donors need to understand that when they give us that dollar is used effectively and used well. So that's the messaging we like to send. The foundation uses every penny they get for running the operations and giving it to the kids.
Mm. And to round up our discussion today, then I'd go around the table here. Would you have a takeaway message for our listeners about how they can about the work that Kiwanis does and the kind of, whether, you know, it's through the Down Syndrome Foundation or your other projects, and how people, you know, can just do their little bit to support you, especially if they can't financially?
There's always a little bit, you always do something in your life.
Mm.
And I'd like to sort of quote a message that was given by Oprah Winfrey, strangely enough, at one of her valedictorian speeches at a college, where she talked about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm quite a senior member of the club, and we always say my runway is getting very short. Okay, everyone, when they get older, starts to look at legacy, right? What's my legacy? How will I be remembered? And she says something very interesting. She said, your legacy is not about the wealth you've accumulated or the houses you own or the businesses you might own themselves. Your legacy is the number of people's lives you've touched in your journey in life. So I appeal to everyone who's listening today to look at their lives and ask themselves, how many lives have you touched as a person? And think about it.
Michael?
Before we wrap it up, I just want to add a little that we did not touch on is by and large membership, right? The membership is open to all individuals, all right, from diverse backgrounds. At the moment right now, we come from various backgrounds, professional leaders, things like that. Now, the thing is that, like Dato was saying, once in your lifetime, you got to stand up for something that you believe in. And for me, my passion is about serving. And there I am, Kivanis, Malaysia. I've joined other organizations, but at the end of the day, Kivanis is still my passion. And anything else, I believe Dato has said all.
It's a good, fun organization to join.
Come have fun, join us.
We're a bit of a left-field thinking organization. We're not typically stuck-in-the-mud kind of NGO. Mm-hmm. We're always pushing the boundaries. We are the first one to take technology as a key element of our business, and we're moving in that direction very, very strongly and trying to bring ourselves relevant into this decade, this century, for instance. And I think it's important that we do get that message. You can join us. You can get information on our website. You can call a local Kiwanis chapter to join. Everyone's out there.
All right. Thank you so much for this enlightening conversation, gentlemen. I've been speaking to Michael Chew, District Governor, and Dato' Stuart Leroy, District Secretary, both from Kiwanis Malaysia, speaking to me about the work that Kiwanis Malaysia and their various chapters do across the nation. I'm Lim Suan, and this has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.